Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with our Spirit of Truth Ministry research team, and we're getting ready for our program entitled The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Today is, if I am not mistaken, February 20, 2021, and again, welcome. I'm going to remind you of our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net. That is our primary website. There you will find a copy of our book and The Spirit of the Church and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling. We also have a secondary website, which is our original website that we put up during the era when Apple was actually operating a server, you know, a web server, which they no longer do. And it is now found at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital M. Lots of good stuff there too. Let's have prayer and we will get started with our program. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us a wonderful day, a peaceful day, a joyous day, listening and learning and speaking the things from above that the Holy Spirit has sent to us so that we can fully understand where we are in time, where we are in prophecy, and what we are to do about it. Thank you for these blessings that you've given us of life and of health and of joy. And I pray, Father, today as we move through this study, your Spirit will move through us, through our intellects and through our hearts to teach us the truth. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, Michael.
Morning.
And good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Rick.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, good night to everyone around the world who is listening to our broadcast. I've noticed on our stat page on Blog Talk Radio, more and more different countries are being represented there as by those who listen to our program. And I want to say welcome to all of those of you who either listen live or download these programs. And feel free to share them with your friends and family.
Or former friends and family.
If you think that they would appreciate hearing this.
Don is up. Can we say hi?
Hi, Don.
Just a minute here. There you go.
Good morning.
You're up and running.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy good morning. It's a gorgeous day.
It is, definitely.
I want to wish everyone a happy Sabbath, if it is still Sabbath where you live. And I say that because we have a few listeners in New Zealand and Australia. And early in the morning or very late at night. And it is Sunday morning there now. Or Sunday night. I'll have to look that up and see what the time difference is and the difference. What I have been talking about a couple, 3 weeks ago.
Sounds like your microphone's backwards. Because I'm hearing people from this side better than I'm hearing you from that side.
It is backwards.
Well, no wonder. Oh, we changed the side.
Yes, and you didn't change the line. Well, let's see. Let's do this. I don't want to do that. Better?
Oh, heavens.
Yes. Dennis flipped sides on the mic boom and didn't flip the mic around. So now it sounds much better, I'm sure.
And now that the real mic is here, maybe we can flip it. No, never mind.
Anyway, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was talking about the prophecy in Revelation 12 and in Daniel 2. And I just wanted to say a word about that before we start or continue on with the parable, particularly for our new listeners. What is described in Revelation? Particularly Revelation chapter 12, or Revelation chapter 7, 8, and 9, 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18.
Death Road prophecies.
Is not going to be realized.
Does that eliminate Revelation 14, 5? Some of that seems essential.
Well, you understand what I'm saying. Revelation 14, 1 through 5 is talking about the 144,000. I don't know that that the way the 144,000 is used in Revelation will be what we actually see. The qualities, though, of the 144,000 are the qualities of all those who enter the kingdom that must be met. And I talked about this yesterday. And the reason I say that is the 144,000 are the first ones to enter the kingdom. And they enter the kingdom because they possess the qualities described in Revelation 14, 1 through 5.
Revelation 3
also, yes. Revelation 3, they're described in the message to Sardis as those, a few who are in Sardis who have not soiled their robes. They will walk with the king in white, for they are worthy. And then in the message to Philadelphia, which is a message to those who have been born of the water and of the Spirit, therefore have entered the kingdom. And they have the name of the Father, the name of the New Jerusalem, and they have the name of the Son of God written in their forehead, which shows they are family. They have the family name, which is the name that God has. What is happening right now is the devil and his angels are working desperately to get the world to the point where the mark of the beast is enforced. I find it interesting that on my chart that I made in 2004, which had the start date in 2012, where the 144,000 would be sealed between July 11, 2012, and the last week of February. Some date there. And not only would the 144,000 be sealed, but the the people represented by the five wise bridesmaids. Then the trumpets would sound, 1 through 4. Then in 2019, May 5th, the abyss would be opened and the angel king and his evil horde would be released into the physical world. They would appear in their physical bodies. I find it interesting that at this last Super Bowl, the halftime show, had a horde of people dressed up like locusts. They had masks on that had the face of a locust. But of course, that was just a show. There wasn't any meaning to that, I'm sure. They also had Lucifer or someone representing Lucifer show up. I'm hearing from sources who know that the globalist New World Order hierarchy is working desperately to have the mark of the beast, although they're not calling it the mark of the beast, but that's what it is, enforced between May and June. But of course, this is not 2019. This is 2021. If this happens, and I'm telling you that it won't, but if it were to happen, God would effectively be taken out of the process. He wouldn't have his 144,000. He wouldn't have his five wise bridesmaids in a kingdom who had for a few years been warning people that this was coming. Well, if you think that God could be taken out of the picture by Satan, you don't know God.
Then you have another think coming. And incidentally, that is the correct usage of that term. It's not another thing coming. It's another think coming.
The mark of the beast, and I know this will make a few of you feel I don't know what it'll make you feel like, but I will tell you what. The mark of the beast that they are using, this is what the globalists are using, are the vaccines. But nobody has been warning anyone that to get the vaccine would be tantamount to getting the mark of the beast, to receiving the mark of the beast. But what the globalists plan on using the vaccine for is to limit those who don't have it from being able to travel, to buy, to sell, basically to do anything. You have to have proof that you had the vaccine before you can do any of those. So what's the difference between that and what is described as the mark of the beast?
Very interesting. Yesterday I had my second shot, and I explained all that in the show notes. And the last thing the young lady who checked me out said was, do not lose this card. This is the shot record that I have. It's just a little card. And do not laminate it. I wonder why.
Maybe it has a nanochip in it.
Yeah.
So, you may think I'm wrong, but I'm telling you that the way that the mark of the beast is described in Revelation is exactly what is happening with the use of the vaccine. But people say, well, but we don't, I don't know, and they're forcing me to take this, and blah, 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 blah. Well, God would not hold you accountable for getting the vaccine because he has not given any overt evidence that we are in the end time. I mean, there hasn't been the first trumpet with the flaming hail mixed with blood. Or even before that, the casting down of the censer, which causes a worldwide earthquake. Or the second trumpet, that's a mountain all ablaze that's cast into the sea. Or the third, that is a star blazing like a torch that strikes the earth and poisons a third of the fresh water supply. Or the fourth trumpet, which is the sun being darkened and the moon not giving its light and the stars of the heavens fall. None of that has happened. But that was all supposed to happen before the mark of the beast came along, because the fifth trumpet was the release of the angel ruler of the abyss. He and his evil angel horde would be released from the spiritual world into the physical world. They would appear in their spiritual bodies, whichever form they chose, to deceive the whole world. And the sixth trumpet, which is a huge Middle Eastern war. And I hear all the time about they're trying to get a war started in the Middle East. I mean, you look at it right now, they're trying to get a war started in the Middle East.
And of course, the seventh trumpet announces that the kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his anointed. And they shall reign forever and ever. We do find the seventh trumpet in that message delivered by the seven thunders in Revelation chapter 10, saying that in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound, the secret intention of God will be made known, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. So, because what is happening is not what was described in Revelation that would happen leading up to the issuing of the mark, which is called the mark of the beast, his name or the number of his name, it will not happen. Because if it does happen, God has effectively been taken out of the picture. Back to the parables. What I thought I would do is read the parable without using the symbols, but plug in to where the symbols are used, what that symbol represents. So in Matthew 13, starting with verse 4, he said, imagine a sower going out to sow. How do you understand that first sentence? Imagine the Son of God going to the earth to testify words of truth. As he testified these words, some words on their way through some ears entered into the intellect, which was not conducive for their growth. And immediately the devil took these words away. Others whose intellect was rocky, was hard, where there was little room for these words to start to grow and take root. They sprang up right away, but there was no depth of thought, no thinking on these words. And as soon as hard times came, these words vanished. These words fell among a troubled intellect, and the troubles soon choked out these words, again, not allowing the words to take root and to grow. These words fell on an intellect that was ready and prepared to receive these words. And these words took root and grew and grew until they were complete with their understanding. And those with this type of soul, intellect, mind, spirit became sowers of truth. How do you make your intellect like the rich soil? I'm sure that if you are listening to this, you have at least wondered, how do I make my intellect rich like the soil? So that the words of truth, the testimony delivered by the Son of God, will be able to take root and grow to the fullness of, as it describes, the fullness in the ear, or the fullness of the grain, ripe and ready to harvest. Harvest, two things happen. When you harvest the grain, and of course you do the shaking, and you separate the husk from the kernel, and then you grind the kernel, or you take the seed and you plant it. Two things you can do. So it can be eaten and it can be planted so that there will be another crop. What God is looking for are those who have an intellect that is like the rich soil. So hearing the truth, those words of truth, can immediately take root and start to grow. Who tends these seeds of truth, these words? You and the Holy Spirit, working together, you will realize an abundant harvest. Some a hundredfold, or 60, or 30. All according to ability. Then he told another parable, which goes right along with this one of the sower. He is talking about the kingdom of the heavens. And you remember what I have said about the kingdom of the heavens. It exists between the kingdom of the devil, which are those whose spirit has become hardened to the truth, to the point where the truth will have no effect on them. That is the kingdom of the devil. And on the other side is the kingdom of God, which are those who have been perfected in the truth, and no lie has any effect on them. They are, as is describing the 144,000 in Revelation 14, verse 5, no lie can be found in their mouth. They are blameless. They are in the kingdom. In between the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of God, there is a wilderness. Now, the kingdom of the devil can also be described as a wilderness, but it would be the same thing. The best description example that I can give is the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai or Horeb. They were between Egypt and the promised land. The promised land representing the kingdom of God, Egypt representing the kingdom of Satan. Those who left the kingdom of the devil, kingdom of Egypt, went into the wilderness for one reason, to become righteous. And that required that they learn the truth from God about God and what God required, which is why he gave them the testimony, the Ten Commandments. He also gave them the law, which outlined and described what living a sinless life was all about. There were additions made to this because of the sin the Israelites refused to stop doing. So they were sort of amendments, but it was never God's plan that they live with, I guess what you could call, sin he would tolerate, but only as long as they had not entered his kingdom. In his kingdom, no sin is tolerated. No lie is tolerated. Verse 24, Matthew chapter 13, he put another parable before them. The kingdom of the heavens may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. So the kingdom of the heavens be compared to a field. And in that field, he sowed good seed. But you remember that I've said, the kingdom of the heavens and the kingdom of God is not a place. It's a people. But the people in the wilderness, which is the kingdom of the heavens, some can have an intellect that is receptive, and others have an intellect that is, as described in the sower, hard as the road, rocky, strewn with thorns and weeds, or fertile soil. Looking back at the children of Israel in the wilderness, the only ones that I see that had the rich soil type intellect were Caleb and Joshua. Now you could say that Moses did, and he probably did, although he was more like the rocky soil. So think of it. What was God prepared to do after the group had tested him for the 10th time? Numbers 14:21.
Wipe them out. Start over.
God basically said to Moses, stand aside, Moses. I am going to wipe these people out, and I will make of you a great nation. And, of course, Moses set about intervening on behalf of the people and reminding God that this whole thing was being watched by all the nations surrounding them, and what those nations would conclude if the God of Israel were to wipe out his kingdom, it would be because he was not able to bring them into the land. So God relented. If we bring this parable into our day, it covers the majority of people on the earth. The majority. I don't know how many people are in the kingdom of God, but I would imagine probably a handful at best. Most of the people who believe in God, who worship God, go to church, who care for their neighbor, pay it forward, etc., etc., are in the kingdom of the heavens. In that wilderness that exists between the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of God. Now, as I've said, because of this, God is not going to put the people through the great tribulation such as never has been since there was a nation until that time and never will be again. He is not going to do that. He is going to give them a time of peace and prosperity. But he still wants them to enter his kingdom. He could have just let the Israelites and the mixed multitude live in the wilderness. But he didn't, because that was not his plan. He could not keep his promise to Abraham that his offspring would live in the land. The other thing is that he has promised to return and to take his people back to where he lives, his home. And if you want to know where we find that, we find it in John chapter 14. Starting with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust, there's that word trust, very important word. trust in God still and trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. If there were not, I should have told you. I'm going now to prepare a place for you, and after I have gone and prepared a place, I shall return and take you with me, so that where I am, you may be too. You know the way to the place where I am going. So the kingdom of the heavens may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. In other words, who testified to the truth, planted those seeds in the intellect of humans who were living here on this earth, and then he went away. And while everybody was asleep, his enemy came, sowed darnel all among the wheat, and made off. So where were the darnel sowed?
In the same place where the wheat was sowed.
In the kingdom. The heavens.
Right. But, Rick, I thought God...
Now, isn't that what happened in the wilderness between Egypt and the promised land?
But, Rick, I've been told that God would never allow that to happen because he loves us, and why would he put us into temptation?
Well, you can believe what you want to believe, Dennis, but I'm just giving you
facts. No, I'm not saying I believe it. That's what I've...
I know.
That's what I've heard.
I know.
And you see, the problem with that is it does not take into consideration how God behaves.
Provide me with one verified, validated text that says that.
And you can't find it except in a place that is unvalid, unverified, and that would be Luke.
Even way back when, God says that the scribes, lying pen had turned his law into a lie.
Jeremiah 8:8-9.
So what we see here, now the seeds that were planted both by the sower, the true sower, the Son of God, and by the evil one, the enemy, the truth was sown first, then the enemy came and sowed lies.
At night, he came.
While everyone was asleep.
No one's paying attention.
Now, what would that mean? Well, I think that it means this. That the devil contacted someone, and at this contact, he presented himself as Jesus Christ, as the one whom this individual was, what does he say? Beating or whatever.
Eating and drinking. With the drunkards and beating his fellow servants.
Well, No. Fighting against.
No.
And so this individual had a, what he thought was a come to Jesus moment, but it was actually a come to Satan moment. He was blinded. And why is it that he could not see? Because he had scales over his eyes? Scales? Well, I know that serpents have scales.
It's either a fish or a snake.
And the serpent was very effective in the garden with the man and the woman. And the serpent was very effective with the man on the road to Damascus. These seeds, and what are seeds representative of? I went through it with the sower. What are seeds? Seeds are words. No, seeds are words. They're either words of truth or lying words. But they are words. And these words, either truth or lies, will sprout and grow. Now, the thing about Darnell is that as they grow, they look like wheat. You can't really tell the difference between wheat and Darnell while they're growing. But when they ripen, you can tell one from the other because the darnel turns dark and the wheat turns gold. And if you were to eat the darnel, it's poisonous, but it's kind of a mild poison.
Make you sick.
It gives sort of a feeling of euphoria, or one would say inebriation. It sedates the person so that they, take a nice nap, no worries. This is more like the comfortable self-assuredness that someone gets from the message. When the new wheat sprouted and ripened, the darnel appeared as well. Do you see how that is described? The darnel appeared. In other words, it was now distinct from the wheat.
It was recognizable.
The owner's servants went to him and said, "Sir, was it not good seed that you sowed in your field? If so, where does the darnel come from?" "Some enemy has done this," he answered. And the servant said, "Do you want us to go and weed it out?" But he said, "No, because when you weed out the darnel, you might pull up the wheat with it. Let them both grow till the harvest. And at harvest time, I shall say to the reapers, first collect the darnel and tie it in bundles to be burnt. Then gather the wheat into my barn." Let's look at how he explains this parable in verse 36. Then, leaving the crowds, he went to the house, and the disciples came to him and said, "Explain the parable about the darnel in the field to us." He said in reply, "The sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the subject of the kingdom. The darnel, the subjects of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them, the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels or messengers. Well then, just as the darnel is gathered up and burnt in the fire, so it will be at the end of time. The Son of Man will send his messengers, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that provoke offenses and all who do evil. Throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. Then the virtuous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Listen, anyone who has ears. What are seeds? Words. What are words? Well, like seed, they are food. So the subjects of the kingdom and the subjects of the evil one are so recognized by the words that are in their intellect. Now, these will go around planting the words that are in their intellect in other people's intellect. The words in our intellect determine what we are subjects of or to whom we are subjected. If we are subjects of God and God's Son is our King and God is our Father, in order for God to be our Father, what do we need to have done? Been born from above. And who is our mother?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. I read that yesterday, what the Son of God said to Nicodemus, except those who be born of water and the Spirit, with a capital S, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. And again, in Revelation 12, the woman who's the rest of her offspring. So her firstborn was the Son of God. The rest of her offspring are born of the Spirit, their mother. So, when we read that the virtuous, the righteous, and virtue is basically truthful, righteous, pure, blameless, clean, they will shine like the sun. What, isn't that a quality that describes their mother standing on the moon clothed with the light of the sun in the kingdom of their Father? I was going to say he showed me 14 minutes like 10 minutes ago. And then the final five words of his explanation of the parable. Listen, anyone who has ears. Do you think the truth matters to God? You can look at the world today, and what is their quite obviously going on is the world, at least the evil part of the world, are trying to erase history and all evidence to history. Why? Why would they want to tear down statues? Why would they want to burn books, erase hard drives and cloud storage? Why would they want to remove anything that described what has gone before? Because they want to create a new past. And you go, wait a minute. How can you create a past? You can create anything you want by controlling the information. And where does the information go? Into your intellect. So reality is only what we think, what is in our intellect. And if they erase history and forbid anyone from saying anything about the past, and anyone who does will either be imprisoned, isolated, or killed,
or re-educated.
So that what? They cannot
testify
to the truth of history. And you see, a big part of the history that the devil wants to get rid of is the history of God. The history of God. He wants people to accept the lie that he is their creator, he is their God, there's never been any other God but him.
Yeah, you're speaking of Satan here.
Yes.
Yes.
And anyone who refuses to believe that or accept that or obey will be dealt with.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to go to our Blog Talk Radio website, blogtalkradio.com/SOT. There you will find our archives, and there are a lot of good programs. This series began in August 14 and 15 of 2020, and it's going to continue for the foreseeable future. We encourage you to go to our Facebook page. It's Spirit of Truth Ministry group, and if you want to, you can request permission to join us, and we'd be happy to have you. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a good day, and I hope to see you all next week. So long for now.